You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan is back to fighting Russians after a stint fighting IRA bombers, Arab terrorists. Hollywood basically has a problem these days. They want to sell movies everywhere in the world, and they need bad guys that don't offend a billion people here and there. Also, America's changing role in the world may make it hard for some to see U.S. CIA agents as good guys, Tom Clancy notwithstanding. James Furbish joins us now. He's the founder of the Sly Oyster blog and co-author of the essay Hollywood's Evil Men, a symbol of America's collective fears. James, welcome.
Thanks for having me on, John.
So in the 21st century, in an era of globalization and where we really need to, you know, be closer to China and Russia, for that matter, how hard is it to come up with a credible bad guy that's not just an alien or some, you know, robot left over from World War II?
I would say it's enormously difficult. We see this really for the past decade. It's been hard for Hollywood post 9/11 world, having sort of Arab terrorists as the bad guy almost really hits too close to home. We see an absence of Chinese villains, perhaps because they're the, you know, largest untapped foreign box office market for Hollywood. And God forbid they risk having something negative financial ramifications by not having their movie shown in China. And, you know, we really see this reflected in sort of the use of superhero movies time and time again at the box office. These sort of cartoon caricature villains that are, you know, largely nation stateless, if you will.
Right. Yeah. The Joker doesn't come from anywhere in particular.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Heath Ledger's mind, Jack Nicholson's mind, any number of actors' minds. What do you think of this notion of America's collective fears? How do you go about creating a composite that represents that?
You know, you do sort of see some patterns. It is interesting when you sort of look at some of these movies and what eras they come out in, and then, you know, how they almost do match up against some of the political and cultural anxieties that are going on of the day.
Well, the Cold War, you know, made it easy, I guess. And the drug wars of the 1980s and 90s also supplied a rich market of bad guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you really see that, you know, the 70s and 80s, you really see this preponderance of, you know, corrupt institutions, urban decay. You know, this is sort of the golden era of the, you know, Hollywood cop drama, right? You know, we're talking about Bullet with Steve McQueen and, you know, Magnum Force and Dirty Harry, and all these movies really feature sort of failing government institutions, corrupt cops.
Who else knew where he was?
What have you been implying?
Well, they knew where to look for him and they used your name to get in.
Are you suggesting I disclosed his whereabouts?
You believe what you want. You work your side of the street, and I'll work mine.
As the bad guys, you know, drug lords moving in, and yeah, it's really, you know, you can see that sort of borne out in a lot of what was going on in America as well.
And do you have a favorite evil character or evil character genre?
Perhaps because I came of age in sort of the 90s, I do have a fondness for what I like to think of as the sort of generic white guy of that era. Speed, you know, take your pick of any sort of Steven.
So Dennis Hopper, the bomber, right?
Yes, Dennis Hopper, the bomber, and Speed.
There's a bomb on a bus. Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is armed. If it drops below 50, it blows up. What do you do?
Tim Robbins, who is also a generic, you know, the secret bomber next door in the movie Arlington Road.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, there's The Rock with Ed Harris. He's the disgruntled military, you know, honorable military veteran who takes over Alcatraz. And you see this sort of in a lot of movies in the 90s where it's, you know, tends to be sort of this disgruntled white guy or, you know, kind of the bomber next door.
Well, and there are even some movies that actually celebrated the angry white guy almost as the good guy, bad guy as well. You know, I'll tell you, the scariest bad guy for me, bar none, is the old crazy Nazi in Inglourious Basterds, the Quentin Tarantino film. That one is certainly my favorite.
Well, and Christoph Waltz is just, I mean, he's a brilliant actor. You know, he seems to have a really great partnership with Quentin Tarantino. And certainly, you know, his work in Inglourious Basterds, horrifying.
And, you know, the caricature is irresistible. But I guess, you know, ultimately what Hollywood needs are plausible, evil folks who you can see in the world of today. And I guess the only place that's safe right now, for the time being anyway, is North Korea.
You know, it's funny with North Korea, because in many ways, when they are sort of the villain, and, you know, they've been used a few times. You know, one, I think there's, you know, Hollywood's probably not worried about losing the North Korean box office market. You know, I think that's a pretty safe territory for them. You know, and I think in America, too, it's interesting that we don't really know much about them, you know, still, even though, you know, we get drips and drips here and there. But, you know, they are sort of this largely unknown nation state, and there's a little anxiety, right, with their nuclear missile ambitions, and
more than a little. And you know, Kim Jong Un has yet to be taken down. His father, of course, famously caricatured in Team America.
And God bless Trey Parker and Matt Stone. That's probably one of the underrated gems of the past decade. It's hilarious and just a perfect kind of parody and satire send up of North Korea as a villain and action movies and Hollywood in general.
James Furbish is the founder of the Sly Oyster blog and co-author of the essay Hollywood's Evil Men, a Symbol of America's Collective Fears. Thanks so much, James.
Thanks for having me on, John.
Leave my sister and my daughter.
Rosebud. Funny, like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
You had me at hello.
Oh, it's Movie Friday. Yeah, those are some good clips. We haven't heard those for a while. I love it. Kristen Meinzer is with us, culture producer for The Takeaway, co-host of the Movie Date podcast with Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Rafer and Kristen, welcome.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
So how many Jack Ryans have there been?
I think this is the fourth one.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin was one.
Yeah, Alec Ben Baldwin. Affleck, Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
And the latest, can you guess?
These are dangerous people, Kathy. You cannot be here.
If you told me who you really were,
I took an oath. I couldn't tell you unless we were married, and you wouldn't marry
me. That's why you wanted to marry me? So that you could tell somebody you were in the secret?
You lied
to me for 3 years, and you were good at it. I think you actually enjoyed it.
Can we have a minute, please?
No, you can't.
I would like to talk to Jack Lowe,
please. This is geopolitics.
Please.
It's not couples therapy.
Jack Ryan, played by Chris Pine in Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit. What do you think, Rafer?
You know, you've got Chris Pine. He's a young, fresh face. He's from Star Trek. I think they want to freshen it up a little bit. What kind of baffled me about this was how 80s it is. You know, of all the things that are going on in the world, terrorism, the financial crisis, et cetera, they go back to the Russians, and they're like, they're Cold War style Russians. They say things like, America will bleed.
Hey, no bad Russian accents on this
program.
The executive producer banned them yesterday. Kristen, what do you think of this movie?
You know, full disclosure, I have not actually seen any other movies in the Jack Ryan franchise. So I went in completely blind, and I just saw it as a really fun espionage thriller. I thought Chris Pine was totally likable, and Kevin Costner as his CIA boss I thought was really fun. And who doesn't love Kenneth Branagh, who plays the bad guy?
Branagh's the bad guy.
Yes, he is.
And director.
All right, so a reasonably good recommendation
Not from me.
I thought it was reasonably good.
Reasonably, yes. so a B plus and an F. All right, so Ice Cube, a cop, Kevin Hart, also in this movie, Ride Along. Let's listen.
Oh, damn, it's Sir Scream-a-Lot.
James. I was responding to a hostile situation, James. I have no shame in that. You call for backup when there's a hostile situation.
I wasn't calling for backup. That was a high-pitched scream. And you pushed my sister in the way.
I pushed your sister out of harm's way.
Kristen, urban cop comedy, urban cop drama. Which is this?
It's a comedy. It takes place in Atlanta. You have Kevin Hart, who is engaged to a young woman he wants to marry but has to pass through the older brother test. And the way to do that is to go on a cop ride-along. The older brother, played by Ice Cube. Along the way, they come into lots of violence and scary stuff, but they might learn to love each other along the way.
We haven't seen Cube in a while.
He was in 21 Jump Street and soon to be released the sequel, 22 Jump Street.
Also playing a cop.
You like?
I did not like, which is too bad because I like Ice Cube, and I like the director, Tim Story, who did Think Like a Man, which I liked a lot. I know Kristen did as well.
We both like that,
This one, bit of a dud, I have to say.
Yeah, it's a shame. They're very likable, but it's just not funny, unfortunately.
Well, as the parent on the Movie Date podcast team, Rafer, you have to see all the animated films. This is a nut job.
We got to get those nuts before the rest of the park gets in on this. Let's go over the plan. That's us. There's the card. We rot the card and then stuff ourselves silly all winter.
Oh, great. We got company.
Nut Job, movie about squirrels. Parent killer or fabulous family entertainment?
Well, I went in with high hopes because I like the idea of squirrels. I like the idea of an animated heist job flick, and I like the idea of squirrels knocking over a nut shop. But unfortunately, this actually becomes almost too much like a heist flick. It gets really bogged down in the details. There are no characters you can really care about, and so even though it's a little better than most animated kids' films, there's still something kind of oddly dark and noirish about this that I thought was very strange. So not so great.
Not a great week for Rafer Guzman. Anyway, the three
it's
movies,
January.
Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, Ride Along, and The Nut Job. What's on the podcast this week, Kristen?
We are going to be going over all those Oscar nominations that came out yesterday and share our thoughts on whether we love or hate them or feel anyone's been dissed.
Nebraska? That was kind of a surprise, right?
I was mostly surprised by Gravity tying for the most nominations.
Yeah, you didn't like Gravity.
Yeah, not in
so
a good
much.
Way, right, Kristen?
Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, co-host of the Movie Date podcast, and Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the Movie Date podcast, which you can find at thetakeaway.org. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.